Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Truly, our God reigns with power and with majesty, dominion and authority. Our God reigns. Truly, we're thankful just to be on the broadcast today. This is the Prospering Soul, and we are here to just to be able to teach the Word of God, to build a foundation so one somebody can stand on and be able to stand in the times of that we live in now. We surely need a firm foundation. And we thank the Lord for all of you that are calling in, all of those that will be listening in, all of those that will hear this broadcast in the archives later on. We thank God for each and every one of you, and we pray that the word will fall on good ground and that, you know, we will be hearers of the word and not hearers only, but doers also. So we thank the Lord for each and every one, and we thank the Lord for just this opportunity to share the word of God with you today. And we're doing foundational teaching, something that is teaching us how to stay in God, in the will of God, and leaning and trusting on Him so that we can be better Christians and better followers of Christ. And so we thank the Lord for each and every one of you. But we just want to have a quick word of prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this day, for this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for your joy, for the joy and the peace. We thank you for, Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. I thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. But, Lord, every tongue that rises against us, we shall condemn. So we thank God for the word of God. We thank the word, thank God that the word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is our weapon to use in a time that we need it. And so we thank you. That's why it was so important that we have the word of God richly dwelling in us. And so we thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, just to touch each hearer today. Let them hear what the Spirit of God has to say to the church. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that people will be blessed by this ministry and by this broadcast. And, Lord, that you will be glorified and that people will be able to be stronger in the word of God and they can move on through the progression from milk to meat, oh, God. And, Lord, we thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Lord, thank God for Elder Dotson being on the line. And I thank God, is this Elder Poston or?
Yes, in transit, on the line.
Okay, praise the Lord. We thank God for you all being on the line, and we're quite sure that others will join us here shortly. But we're going to continue in our journey talking about igniting our faith through spiritual growth. And we started this on last week, and we're not going to stay on it too long unless the Lord says something different. Because we're going to continue to move on in our foundational series, and I'm really excited about the other topics that are coming up later on in, as we go through this year. But we thank God for just this opportunity to continue to talk about the Word of God. I think when we left off last week, we were talking about how sometimes people are intimidated by the Word of God because, and sometimes I think that intimidation comes from a lack of wanting to be obedient toward it. And so sometimes people are intimidated by it because they really don't fully understand the Word of God and they don't take the time to always do that. And then some are just, they just, you know, they don't know. And so it can kind of bring some intimidation or somewhat fear there because of their lack of knowledge. But God is so patient with us, and He's so loving toward us. He doesn't hold us accountable for any of that. He, as we continue to read His Word, He blesses us with revelation and with knowledge, and teaches us as we go along. So He's a faithful and a loving God. He's not somebody says, well, you should have got it when you read it. He's not saying that. He wants us to read His Word so we'll, first of all, get to know Him, because if we can't obey anything that we don't know, and we can't be blessed by it if we don't really read it and learn and want to know more and more and more about God. And so these are the Word of God, reading your Bible daily and just diving into the Word of God and getting to know God through your reading and through, of course, prayer and Him talking to you and you listening. Those are things that will help us to grow spiritually. And like I said last week, and I always read this particular verse in Joshua 1:6-9, where it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance, the land which I swear unto their fathers to give." And I'm just going to read verse 9, because that's where verse 8, and it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." And so that is just another, verse that kind of tells us how we're, to get and stay in the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that helps to strengthen us. It is our guide. The Bible says in Psalms, it says the Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so it is guiding us through life, through the vicissitudes of life, through all the things that life has to offer and all things that life might bring. The Word of God is our guide. It will light up our pathway, and it will help to lead us on our journey. And so it is important that we ingest, not just hear it, but ingest the Word of God, and then to apply it to our lives and begin to live according to as we have written. Does anybody else have anything to say about that?
Let me know if you're getting feedback, and I'll try to switch to another form. But I want to just digress for just a second and talk about or bring up, if anybody has any input on, just the mechanics of it. And what I'm talking about is I've had several conversations with people who have started out trying to read the Word of God and say if they have a King James Version, but they can't get the understanding because of the language. I try to encourage them to try to get a more modern-day version if it's easier for them to understand as they read. And a couple other things just to throw out there. I've had several people tell me that they start off good until they get to the genealogy, and they just can't understand it, and they get frustrated. And I try to encourage them to go ahead and push their way through that. There's a reason for the genealogy, and I have butchered many a name. I have, but I have pressed on through in order to get through it. And the other little thing I'm going to throw out there, and we can talk about each of these if I'm not getting off subject. The other thing is, how many times have we been in church, pastor or the speaker will get up and tell us that they're taking a text from a particular scripture, and, you have somebody next to you or a couple of seats down from you in panic mode trying to find the scripture. And I try to tell people, quit putting that, you're putting undue pressure on yourself. And I don't want you to get frustrated and then give up. The Bible is a book, and if you go to the front,
Amen.
It will give you the names of the book and the page number. It's okay to look it up and go ahead and find the scripture. Don't Don't get caught up in the thinking that, you know, I got to have it memorized, and then you get stressed, and then you flip in, and then you hold your Bible, and you ain't really in the scripture where they started at, but you hold it because you don't want anybody to look and see that you really ain't in the right place. You know that's undue stress. You know, the Lord is giving us a way to get it. So take your time, take a breath, and just look it up.
Yeah, go to the index. That is, and it's amazing how many of us will not do that. Yeah, because especially when you get into those books of the Bible, like the Minor Prophets, and you may not remember those in order. You know, you may not remember those, and so those are a little more difficult to look up because it's not really passages that they often go to, but still people will sit there and flip. Instead of just going to the index, it says Obadiah is on page 1,740, and just turn to it and move from there. But we continue to flip and flip and flip, and so that is interesting when we see that happening. Does anyone else have anything to say on that particular topic? If not, we'll go on. And so I put some things down here, and I was talking about the different things that the Word of God is to us. And one thing that the Word is to us, it is our nourishment. If we would read Matthew 4:4, it says, "And he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And so we have to sometimes understand that the Word of God is more to us than just something that we read and something that for us to live by. It actually nourishes us. And as we continue to read the Word of God, that's how we continue to graduate. It's like being on the bottle at first, and then you graduate to baby food, and then from baby food to soft table food. And so it kind of helps us to progress along those lines right there, if we really would think about it from that perspective and not be so afraid of diving into the Word of God. It is really a rich blueprint for our life, and it helps us to navigate through all circumstances, because the Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun, nothing. And so therefore, you can get nourishment from the Word of God. Our next thing is, and I want to also read Deuteronomy 8:3, which is something that alludes to that same topic, line of topic about the Word being our nourishment. It says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live." So this is what we live by, the Word of God. And so it's nourishment unto our bodies, and we have to think about it from that perspective. Does anyone have anything they would like to say about that? If not, we'll go on. It says, "The word is good for taste." Psalms 119:103 says, "How sweet are thy words unto thy taste, unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than the honey to my mouth." And then Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And that is what those particular scriptures say. And it just tells you just how even the word is good for taste, it's good for our nourishment. So it's really important that we really continue to understand just how important the Word of God is to us in our spiritual growth. We cannot grow spiritually if we are not reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Do you have any comments on those particular scriptures, or any more comments on that particular topic as of the Word of God being our nourishment?
Well, I would like to comment on the Word of God being our nourishment. We grow by hearing this Word. We grow by reading the Word of God. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. He doesn't want us to stay in that infant stage, but he wants us to grow. Because in growing, our ears become sensitive to what he has to tell us. And we receive the Word of God in its entirety, and we move according to it better as we grow. It's not a hassle. It's not something that confuses us when we grow in the Word of God. It becomes something that we accept and move on.
Yes.
It builds our confidence. It builds. It encourages us, and it influences. It has an influence on us to do the right thing, to be righteous. You know, the Bible speaks about a righteous man. you know, and a righteous heart, a righteous soul, and for us to be righteous, this word needs to strengthen us and bring us to a place of righteousness. Amen?
Amen. Yes. And because, like, okay, so 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So we have to understand what the word of God is. And that was so good what Elder Dotson just said, about how it's what helps us to even know about us, how about righteousness and where we're supposed to be. This is what is our guide, and we need it. Does anybody else have anything to say about that? So I'm going to read this brief because this is talking about growth. And it says, one characteristic of all children share is that they want to grow up to be like a, you know, like somebody, their parents, their big brother, their heroes, or whoever. But when we are born again, we become spiritual newborn babies. If we are healthy, we will yearn to grow. And it says how sad it is that some people never grow up. The need for milk is a natural instinct for a baby. And it signals the desire for nourishment that will lead to growth. Once we see our need for God's word and begin to find nourishment in Christ, our spiritual appetite will increase, and we will start to mature. How strong is your desire for God's word? So, I mean, that lets us know that as we continue to grow in Christ, that eventually we will just automatically begin to desire more of him, to know more about him. Just like when a baby starts out, they desire the milk, but eventually they need something else. The milk doesn't continue to fill their stomachs up like it should, and so you have to move to a different type of food. And so that's the same thing with the Word of God. As we continue to read it, then we begin to get deeper in what God is saying to us. And that is what helps us to grow. So we're going to move on to the next topic about the word, and this is all a part of our of us growing our spiritual growth, using the word of God as a tool to grow spiritually. And the next thing is the word is our guide. And so if I read Psalms 119:105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And that's what I was saying earlier, that word will give us direction or give us the direction on where we should go. Does anybody have any comments on that? Yeah.
Can I elaborate on that? This is the way that I heard it from a pastor. He said the reason David wrote that is because in the desert there is no lights, nothing that you can see. You can't even see your hand before your face. And when they had to walk to different towns, what they had was little lamps that they would tie around their ankles so that they would light their path. You know, that's where he got that lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, because where they walked, they could see the ground, but out in front of them, they couldn't see that much, but because it was desert land, and that light pretty much kept them alive, because it would ward off animals when they saw it walking, when they saw them walking in the night. They didn't know, the animals didn't know what it was, or so it would light their paths and also give them direction on which way they were going.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And then here's, I got some notes here, too, that's going along with what you're saying. It says, because it's saying, you know, the light into our feet, and, I mean, a lamp into our feet and a light into our pathway. To walk safely in the woods at night, we need a light so we don't trip over the tree roots or fall into holes. In this life, we walk through a dark forest of evil. And it says, but the Bible can be our light to show us the way ahead so we won't stumble as we walk. It reveals the entangling roots of false values and philosophies. So study the Bible so you will be able to see your way clear enough to stay on the right path.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm. And so that's what the Word of God. Go ahead.
I'd like to add to that. When you're in the Word of God, it's a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path, and it also helps you to ward off the opinions of men.
Yes.
We have so many people that have their opinions, you know, reality shows. These are opinionated people living what they would call their lives, but most of them are not under direction of the Holy Ghost or the direction of God. We've got to be careful what we're looking at and what we're listening to. And a way that you are careful is reading the Word of God. It helps shine light on a number of subjects that we might have questions about. You know, it amazes me how some people would run to their friends to get an answer about a question they have without really going to the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Or in someone that knows something more about what they're going through, they'd rather, go to a man that, you know, that they think knows the answer. But the Word of God, we know, has all the answers. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And so then that's a good segue into our next part, part talking about the Word of God. And we're still talking about how it's igniting our faith and then it's helping us to grow spiritually. Then it says, the Word of God will help us to stay out of sin. And Psalms 119 and 11 says, it says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And when I was reading about that, just doing some background on that particular scripture, it says, keeping God's word in our heart is a deterrent to sin. This alone should inspire us to memorize scripture. But memorization alone will not keep us from sin. We must also put God's word to work in our lives, making it a vital guide to everything we do. So the word of God helps us to stay away from sin. And it also says not knowing the word of God is what causes us to be tricked by Satan. Genesis 2 and 15 and 17 says, And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of the tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And so then if we go to Genesis 3, 1 and 6, it says, and now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, and so what this is making reference to is that in Genesis 2, God had gave the man the commandment. The woman was not there at the time. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. And that's not what God said. He didn't say nothing about touch, lest ye die. And so the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so what happened there, of course, that if we look at the type and shadow of that whole thing is that Adam, he died with his bride. And of course, Christ came along and died for us and redeemed us back to God. But Adam actually, he knew where the serpent got her was when she said, you should not eat of it, but neither shall ye touch it. And so he handed it to her. Did nothing happen. Does anybody have any comments on that, those particular scriptures or that particular topic as the Word of God helping us to stay out of sin?
I love what you read, and I think it's also critical when we talk about knowing it, how subtly Eve was deceived. And if you don't know any word, then you are subjecting yourself to falling into a situation.
Yeah, deception.
Right. I ask myself and I ask other people, just don't take anybody's word for what they say, the Bible says, but get in there and find it and see if that's actually what it's saying.
Yeah.
So then you'll know for yourself and be confident when you use it or when you hear it.
Yeah. That's why, and when I think I'm gonna reference this scripture because I think it's relevant. Not necessarily is it talking about the word, but it's talking about seeking God, and that's Matthew 6:33 where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of His righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you." But in our way of seeking Him is through the Word of God, through prayer, through these same tools that we're talking about today in order to grow spiritually.
Amen. I was listening as you were reading, and the enemy or the devil was so subtle, which means he was cunning. And he was also manipulative. There
yeah.
are people that will manipulate you and distract you by their words. Just
yeah.
changing the mere word of God just slightly will have you going down a wrong course or a wrong avenue.
Yeah.
You know, is very, very critical that you read the Word of God and find you a good concordance
yes.
so that it will make the Word plain, a good NIV,
yes.
you know, to make the Word plain to you if it's not plain, you know? And so that you won't be manipulated into thinking a thing that the Word of God is really not saying. Or, you know, and just saying, you know, what the enemy was telling her, you will not surely die.
Right.
You know, when the Lord said you would. Now, wait a minute. Are you right or is he right?
Right.
I'm going to believe the word of the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
And that's how we get so, history has also shown us with that kind of example where these cults come up and they use scripture to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Amen.
And, you know, to walk away from their families and everything just by, you can change meaning by inflection. But what you have to know, you have to know it. So it would line up with the Word of God and with your spirit, because if not, you stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Amen. Yeah. And so it's just so important if we really want, because even when Jesus was tempted, I mean, when Satan tried to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, the first thing he said, he went right to it. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, because Jesus had just finished a 40-day fast. And so the first thing he wanted to tempt him with, he told him to turn those stones into bread. And so Jesus just let him know, food is, you know, we need, well, really, when you think about it, he was saying, man should not live by bread alone. He said, no, we need bread, but that ain't what we're going to live by alone. We need the Word of God. Now, that's what Jesus said. We need
Amen.
The Word of God. So
you know, something that would help us also, I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you finish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm finished.
Another thing that helps us is, we need to go back to encouraging one another with the Word of God.
Yes.
We've gotten away from that. And it puts that word in us, and it also seeds a word in us when we can hear someone else say what we've read or say what we've heard. And it intensifies, I like that word, intensifies the word in us. When something is intense, it's charged, it's ready. And I believe that's what we're missing sometimes. For us to be ignited in the faith of God, we have to be intense about it.
Mm-hmm.
And fortified with it, you know, encouraging one another in the Word of God and with the Word of God brings us to that point where we don't allow too much to stop us, discourage us, distract us, because, you know, we're helping one another. Amen?
Yeah. Can I say something? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, hey. Hello, everybody. I wanted to say that the scripture says that the whole earth groaneth in travail for the manifestations of the sons of God. And the way, and I've been witnessing that, some people I've talked to, and they were just becoming overwhelmed with what they were going through. And I said, just take a deep breath. The Word of God says this, and it calms them down.
Mm-hmm.
So the Word of God is a buffer, and it will help those in trouble. And it's important for us to know the Word if we are ministers of the gospel, to be able to give life and hope to people that don't read the Word. We're supposed to be living epistles read of men, and we should be able to give them the word so they can have so they can have some peace in their life and quite possibly and ultimately come to the Lord. So it's important for us to know so we can share with others.
Yes.
What thus saith the Lord.
What thus saith the Lord.
I'm sorry. I'm just wondering if I'm echoing.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you are.
Someone else is going to say something too. Thank you, Sister Dodson.
Hello, this is Henry. Concerning the word, another thing, you know, and beautifully said how y'all talked about the word. And one of the things, you know, people that are listening to, she understands that. Elder Benigni read about Adam and Eve and what the enemy said. And then she went along with what he said. And one of the key things, if we are going to be successful in the word, then we have to believe God. That's one of the things that's been happening for ages and still happening with us.
Yes.
Just believe God. If your words are lamp unto my foot, unto my feet, and a light unto my path. If that means if his word is light, lamp, that means it's truth. Light brings about truth. And if
yes.
we are going to be successful, we have to believe God. Because the reason Eve had heard to the enemy, because somewhere she did not believe God. When God
yes.
said, don't do and give them everything he gave them because he had their best interest at heart.
Yes.
She didn't believe it.
That's right.
And we got to know that God has our best interest
yes,
at
he
heart.
Does. Yes, he does.
And we
yes.
have to believe his word. And especially in the time in which we live, if we are going to be successful, who are we going to listen to? God or somebody else?
We have to listen to God.
Elder Henry, that's something. The young people are singing this song, and I can remember Molly Music. And one of some of his lyrics, he was saying, there are a lot of people quoting scriptures, but in essence, he was saying, but it's just another word that they heard. And people are not believing it, and he was bringing that out in that song. And so the young people, you know, they're singing about it and they're picking it up. We have got to believe God. We just can't go around quoting scriptures because it's the faddish or the hip thing to do. But my Elder Dodson preached once, and I'll never forget this. The word works. And
mm-hmm.
so not only, and what you're saying, Elder Henry, is we got to believe it. Can y'all hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. I thought, am I echoing? Okay. So, you know, Elder Henry, I agree with you 100%. We have got to believe God. Not only just read it, not only quote it, but we've got to believe it in spite of.
Yes.
And I'm sorry. That's all I wanted to say. I'm getting ready to mute out so I won't be echoing.
Oh, that's okay. But I think what we do have to understand, too, is that, you know, in that particular scripture there, that was what Satan was trying to accomplish, was to make Eve doubt the word of God, and so doubt what God had said, and that's what he's still doing today to so many. He's trying to make us doubt what God has said. He's trying to make us doubt that the promises of God are true. He's trying to make us doubt that, you know, just what God said and even what God did for us. He's trying to make us doubt that. So he keeps throwing this stuff at us and trying to tempt us, trying to cause us discouragement because, you know, if we have to wait on God, then he wants us to be discouraged, like God ain't going to show up for you. So this is why we have to know what the word of God says to be able to combat what he's trying to speak into our ear. And if we know the Word of God, if we and whatever level we know it on, we can use it. We don't have to be a scholar to be able to use the Word of God as a powerful, and we're going to talk about this next, a powerful weapon, but to stop being tricked by the enemy, we can use the Word of God at whatever level we're on. Use what you know.
Because it works, don't it?
It works.
Elder, let me just throw a question out there. In case anybody's wondering, in listening to Minister Henry saying we just got to believe God, that brought something to my mind. What is it in a child that a parent will say, I'm going to do this or get this for you, and even though it doesn't necessarily, the parent doesn't necessarily do it, at that moment the child holds on to that word.
Exactly.
And believe.
Believe it, and we'll remind them.
Yeah.
And so what makes us not do the same thing? It's because of the enemy trying to cause us to doubt, or even our lack of confidence in God. We have to be confident in who God is. That's why he said, was it in Hebrews 6:11, he says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. When we seek God out and when we pray, we have to already believe that God is. We can't pray and think he might do it. We can't pray and waver. We have to believe. He said, he that cometh to God, this is Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, period.
Right. And that childlike faith.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just throw this in real quick. You know, my grandson, I was, you know, playing with him, talking to him, and he showed me this toy that he wanted in the book. And in the book, I said, oh, okay. All right, I said, I'll get that for you if I can find it. The thing that's standing out as we have this conversation is, after he said that he wanted it and I said, okay, he went on about his normal activity.
Yeah.
He didn't come back and ask me again. He went on about his normal activity, doing what he would normally do. Right. And then this is the thing. When I gave it to him, and this was 2 days later after he asked, when I gave it to him, guess what he said? I knew you could get that from me.
Right. Because there's a difference between trust and belief.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we tend to put them all in belief, but not only do we have to believe the word and believe God, we've got to trust him. Because you can hear the word, and you can say you believe it, but trust puts it to the test, that you're going to wait on it regardless. So when it looks like it's not coming, God said it, or my grandpa said it, or papa promised, and because the word went out, I'm going to believe it until I receive it. So I'm trusting in him because I have the faith in him. So trust takes faith to another level. So there's a difference.
Come on.
And you know what? That drove my intensity to find it for him.
Yeah.
Isn't that what God does?
That's what God does. He moves because of our faith.
Right.
And I'm thinking about what both. Go ahead.
Now, that answers your question. What is in a child to make a child believe when you make him a promise? Because he trusts you in a childlike faith. That's trust.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have nothing else against it. They just trust that any other word can come, but they trust the word that came out of their parents' mouth, that if they promised it, it's coming to pass. The same way we ought to be with God. If God said a word, and we say we believe in him, then we've got to trust him regardless of the circumstances or regardless of what the enemy is whispering in our ear. We've got to know what God said to us. And if God said it, that settles it, and it should be amen. If we stand on that, we'll see the word work. The word can only work if we trust God. It'll work if we work it, and it works by the faith that we have in God, building up our trust in him.
Yes.
Thank you,
and,
Lord.
And your trusting is your acting.
Yes.
Your belief, your trust, and your trust is acting on the word of God. You're not moving by what you see. You're not moving by what another person said. You're going to actively believe.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Elder Poston, but I bet you if you weren't around your grandson, and mm-hmm. some of his friends were around, we would say, my papa's going to get me that. Right mm-hmm. there, my papa's going to get that for me. Even if he wasn't around, he knew that his papa was going to get that. That was a serious, that was a blessing to me to hear that. That was wonderful. My papa's mm-hmm. going to get that for me. He wasn't even tripping.
This is not God. It got to do anything to bring it to pass. When I went to one store, they didn't have it. I burned gas going to store to store to store till I found what I said I was going to get it.
Thank you.
Meaning God will move. He will move to make it come to pass.
Yes. He'll move stuff out of the way.
Yes.
To make it come
and
to pass.
And I would believe the grandson kind of helped you by walking away.
Yeah.
And not bringing it up anymore. See, what? That's what we need.
That's a whole nother level right there.
And you know what? He would have got on your nerve, Elder Poston. He would have got on your nerve. Papa, are you going to get that for me? But he walked away. And the same thing, we shouldn't be just bugging God. Just, Lord,
yeah.
I thank you for what you can ready to do and walk away. That was beautiful.
And what Elder Timberlake said, she said that trust takes us to another level. Okay, so let's think about this. Because we think about a baby crying. When that baby begins to cry, she knows that somebody going to come bring her some milk. So if we pray, that's a form. I'm going to use prayer and crying in the same context here. If we pray to God, we need to believe that he's about to bring that to pass.
Amen.
It is coming. It is coming.
And another thing, too, Elder, while we're talking about this, and, you know, Elder Antonin talked about the child, his grandson having that faith, just believing. Another thing you notice about children, when you do something for them, they don't just simplify it. They don't just look at it. They don't take it for granted. They are always grateful. And one of the things about faith that sometimes I notice in the Word of God is that we must be careful so that we don't take the goodness of God for granted and it becomes common.
Yes.
You know,
right.
Israel, when Israel was in captivity and Moses brought the word about the deliverance, and they were glad to get out. And then we saw God do 10 plagues. 10 plagues to teach the Egyptians a lesson that he's God. And then he opens the Red Sea. He turns bitter water sweet. But one of the things is that they started to complain about certain things and to look at the big picture. Apparently, the miracles of God and the goodness of God got kind of common to them. So as we study the word and we have faith, let us also remember that we should never take those things for granted or look at it in a common way. Because sometimes we can be praying for something and then the Lord does it. He makes it look so easy that if you're not careful, you would think that God didn't do it.
Right.
It was so easy. So if you're not careful, you would think that, well, it may be it just happened. But as a believer, and I think we believers know that it was God. And we've got to be very, very careful with that, not to take, you know, as we study the word and we apply the word and the word works, and then we turn to something. Just think about Israel, all the things that God did for them. And he simplified things. Why did they feel that they needed something more complicated, that they had to go follow other gods? What were they looking for? Was it that he was so good to them, simplifying things for them? So they need now to go look for something more complicated. God's word is simple. A lot of the times, grace is simple. And we have to understand that and don't get caught into that trap.
Amen.
Because even we know people that are educated sometimes question the word of God. And they're so smart. Well, you say X, Y, Z happened, but so and so things happen in science. You know, we can look at this now. We can prove that even to the point we're not careful, though we have modern medicine, we must still have faith in God. Though modern medicine is working and God can use it, we still can't turn to that. We must see even the glory of God in that. At least we become fool and say, well, you know, these things are just happening now. When most of it was God who helped you through that surgeon and you got better. And now we start losing our faith in a meaningful way because his blessing now is just so common to us. And we, like I said, we got to be very careful with that.
That's why the Lord in Proverbs. Elder Dawson, can you hit your mute? Maybe I won't echo. Thank you.
I got the mute. I got to lay it down.
Oh, okay. I think what's so important in Proverbs, you keep hearing over and over again, bind the word upon your heart, let it over your eyelids, just keep it before you, bind it about your heart, because we do tend to forget. Unfortunately, I don't know why I've been watching, just looking at the scripture, how God, like you said, do miracles, and then we just kind of take it for granted. And that's one of the reasons why we take it for granted, because what you all are encouraging us and encouraging everyone and admonishing everyone to do is to keep the word of God before you and to keep it in your heart. Because if you don't, we're going to forget. I don't know what it is about humans. I don't know what it is. Why? That's why, and that's why the Lord tells us to meditate on it day and night, because we do forget. There was the scripture over in the New Testament in Matthew, where Jesus was saying, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," and then the disciples said, they were wondering within themselves, is it because we don't have any bread here with us? Then God had to go back and he said, really? And when I was reading, I was thinking, well, he just fed the 5,000 in the same chapter or the chapter before or something. He said, don't you, in essence, realize what I did? And then how many fragments did you take up? And then I turned around, I think it was, wasn't it 7,000 or something somebody he fed, or 4,000, I think. And they took up 7 loaves of bread. And that was another miracle. But I don't know, so for some reason we tend to forget. So that is the reason why it is so important for us to continue to stay in the word of God. And God didn't put those scriptures in there for naught. He told us to bind it about our heart, let it be on our eyelids, and wrap it around our neck, you know, bind it about your neck. Then he says, meditate therein day and night. You know, so that's what the word of God is really, really essential for our lives.
Yeah, and that's why the scripture also says, sister, I agree with you, is trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Many times when God blesses us, we might believe and we go by what we see. But when the incident is over, the milk is over, then we're going on about our way because something just happened that we wanted. But when you trust God, that's why I say it's another level of faith. It's different between belief. It's another level. It's a sign of maturity, spiritual growth, because you trust God when things don't go right, but you know they should, or you know the word of God said it will, and because you believe his word, you trust him to perform his word, that his word is true regardless of what you see with your eyes and what you feel in your body or what's going on in your circumstances and whatever challenges you have, you trust God to know whatever is said and done when it's all over, that it's going to be the victory on your side. And if it didn't work the way you think it should, it still is working for your good because you trust him. Trust just takes us to another level. And so we won't take him for granted. As we begin to trust him more, we don't take his blessings for granted because we know if it hadn't been for God on our side, we would have fainted. We would have swallowed up. We would have failed. But because he kept us, when we didn't know we needed to be kept sometimes, he still kept us so we wouldn't let go. He held on to us when we were about to fall, when the enemy was about to cause us to stumble. But because of the trust we had in him, and we had proven ourselves to him, that he trusted us, that we would do, that just like he tried, the Hebrew boys, they're a good example. When they were in the fiery furnace, they said, we know God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, this is what you call trust. They have the faith. They believed in him, but they trusted God. If he don't do it, I'm still going to believe God, and he's still able to deliver me, even if he doesn't. That's what God is looking for. That's what he's calling for in this season and in this hour, and that is what the world is needing for us to be an example, to see our spiritual growth. We've done enough talking. We need to live what we're talking about so we can win lost souls.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. I'm believing with you, sis, and I believe that childlike faith that we were talking about comes to us with the growth into and it reveals to us but God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that but God gives us one choice.
Mm.
I believe that childlike faith is because they don't know but what you tell them.
Mm.
And they don't have any more choices. We have too many choices. What we need to do is round our choices down to but God.
All right, now.
I think we'll be better off.
That's it. That's it.
That's it. That is it right there. Rounding them up to just but God. And that's all it is. It's really but God. And if we really would really think about, even when we're in them situations where we're going through some rough times and some hard times, if we really think about them hard and rough times and how God even sustains us during those times, we wouldn't be so quick to be like, "Where's God? Why are you?" He's still in the situation.
But did Job say, "Though God slay me, yet will I trust him"?
Yes.
We got to get to the point, I trust you, God. I don't understand you. I don't look like you're working for me. I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you because you know what's best. Because we know he already told us, he knows the thoughts he have towards us. They're good and not evil. And he has an expected future for us and a hope. So we got to trust and believe in the word that we know and declare that if God said it, it shall come to pass. That's just it.
Yeah.
It's settled. That's it. The brother is summed it up. It's but God.
We thank the Lord. We really thank the Lord. We wind it down. Of course, our time just keeps going fast. It seems like it gets faster. The better it gets, the more faster it comes. And I think I've had a couple more just quick topics that I wanted to say about this, but I don't want to belabor the time and hold us over too long. But the word of God as a powerful weapon, our devouring flame, our crushing hammer, and our life-giving force. And then even is as a saving power, a defensive weapon, a probing instrument. And then how the word purifies our life and how it helps us to reap our blessings and so forth and so forth. But anyway, I thank God for this topic today because it's been really a blessing and so enriching. And just hearing the discussions about how the Word of God takes us to a different level in faith and in trust, and how, you know, in the scenarios that were given that were so such a blessing and so just basic, where we can understand it really, you know, we can get a good understanding of what we were talking about as far as the Word of God and what it does for our lives. And I'm so thankful for that and so grateful for that always. And I just want to always offer, if there's anybody out there that does not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, that you can accept him in your life today. He is waiting with open arms for you, and all you have to do is say yes to his invitation and come right on into the family of God. It's such a beautiful family to be a part of, and we're so thankful that we're a part of it, all of us are, and we would love to have you as our family member. So please just come right on and accept Christ today into your life and be a part and be adopted into the family of God. Because it's one thing when you are born into it, but one thing about adoption, he chose you special. And so you weren't just you just didn't come out. You were chosen to be a part of God's family. And so if you are out there and you do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins and you would love to give your life to him today, I know I always think about how the angels in heaven begin to rejoice over that one that comes. But anyway, I would like for you to pray this prayer with me, and it says, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I ask your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. Guide my life and help me to do your will. In your name, Jesus, amen." So I hope that you prayed that prayer with me, and I hope that you have given your life to the Lord and were sincere about turning your life around and becoming a part of God's family, and that you will find you a good Bible-teaching, believing church, that you will be able to go in and be nourished by the Word of God that will come forth, and in during on Sunday mornings and during the teachings, that you will be able to be nourished by the Word of God, and you can, and it will help you to build a strong foundation that you can stand on. And so we just always want to make sure that we offer that and encourage you to go into a church and just be there and know that God is with you. And also, I would like to say that I would like to say to everyone that was on the call and that participated today, that I always want to just believe that God will bless you all exceeding abundantly and above all that you can even ask or think, and that the Lord will enrich your lives. And as always, I always plead the blood of Jesus over each and every one of you, that the blood of Jesus will cover you, and that the Lord will be your strength and your shield and be your strong tower and that wall of fire around about you, protecting you, and that he'll let the angels encamp around about you, that you will be safe. And so I'm asking you all to just believe in God that he's going to bless you all richly as you continue on this journey in the Word of God and teaching others about the glorious gospel, and that's the good news, and we're trying to bring the good news to as many as we can, and we hope that this broadcast will be heard worldwide, not because of who we are, but because of who God is and what God has to offer you. We always know that we're in a stage of either watering the word, planting the word, or watering. But God will always give the increase in your life. And we pray today that the word fell on good ground and that you received the word, that you heard what the Spirit had to say to the church today. And we thank God for it. And I'm just going to ask that Minister Henry, if you would pray us out, and that we will be back here this time next week, ready to continue on in the Word of God. God bless you all of those that you will hear this broadcast. If you're not listening already, that you will be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Minister Henry, would you pray us out, please?
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Father, I thank you for all these people, brothers and sisters on this station, taking the time to come and share the word with your people. Thank you for them. Cover them. Watch over them. Bless them in their affairs. Lord, and everybody listening, Lord, keep them, cover them, watch over them. Let your word enter their heart and all of our hearts, Lord. Help us to be better. Help us to grow. Give us deeper understanding of your word daily. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for joining us. And
amen.
We'll see you on the Prospering Soul next week. God bless you all.
Good night.
God bless you.
Good night.
Amen.
Amen.